This is Andy Thomas from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we discover what it means to be a wholehearted man. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Get ready. It's one of America's most important, influential, and respected voices on cultural and political issues. An apologist, Christian political advocate, and author. Here is the founder and chairman of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes.
I'm Chris Hughes. Welcome to the Christian Perspective, where we look in God's Word in order to develop a Christian worldview and modern culture. Well, welcome to the show today. I'm excited about our guest. She is somebody who I've admired from a distance from quite a while. She is a journalist, I believe, in her heart. She is a wife. She is a mother of two beautiful children. She's an author, and she is, for those of you that know me, I'm a fat boy who likes to eat, and you know I've written three cookbooks, and she has also written some cookbooks, but she really has a heart for what's going on in our culture today and how we can influence the culture and impact the culture for Jesus. And her company is doing a lot, really, to reach the world for Jesus. Her company is called Coulter & Company. They do web design, they do book publishing, and now they are engaging in the public arena. And I'm so excited to have as my guest today, Shereya Coulter. Shereya, welcome to the Christian Perspective.
Thank you, Chris. I thank you very much for having me on today.
I'm excited to have you here. And I had the privilege of being a guest in your home a few months ago. And I remember back at Christmas, my son's like, you know, whatever we have to have a apple pie like Miss Shereya fixed at her house that night. You were such a wonderful hostess and a great, I don't know if you consider yourself a chef, but you're certainly a wonderful cook, and the food we had with you is some of the best I've ever had. So I know.
Well, you can never go wrong with apple pie.
Well, you have mastered it. It's a difficult thing to do. Well, Shereya, tell us, before we get into some questions, tell us a little bit about your background and who you are and what your passions are.
Okay. Yes. Well, I do have two beautiful children, and so that is my primary full-time job, raising them, and I'm delighted to be able to spend that as my top priority, looking after them and raising them. But on all of my other time, I do have this company called Coulter & Company, and it has really blossomed and grown a lot, and it's been really amazing to kind of watch what the Lord has done with it, approaching here almost a decade, so I'm really proud of that. I did spend a good time being a journalist, and I still continue to do a lot of writing now, but I wrote for magazines, local newspapers, have been published pretty widely, and really enjoy the art of writing, and especially investigative journalism as well. I really enjoy just the aspect of telling stories, digging for the truth. I love interviewing people, so this is different to be on this side of the interview, but I really enjoy getting to hear from people. Everybody has a story, and so I love the aspect of journalism that allows me to be a all the time learner, always learning something new, meeting people and hearing just amazing stories that are under the cover that, you know, if you didn't have a chance to sit down and talk with people, you just might not ever even know. But people are fascinating, and so it's fascinating work.
That's for sure. That's something I've learned since we've started doing this show, is there's so many interesting people out there. And everybody has a story. We all have one. And really, that's what being a witness for Jesus is all about. It's not telling somebody else's story. But I encourage people when I go and speak and tell people how I believe one of the primary responsibilities of every Christian is to tell other people about Jesus. And when we do, we pray, you know, hopefully before we go witness to somebody, we pray that God will send the person that needs to hear the story that we're going to tell to us that day. And it's not, you know, when I'm witnessing, Sheree, it's not for me to tell your story or somebody else's story. But God wants me to share my story with that person. And we all have a story, and God uses that in a mighty way. Well, I'm fascinated. I'm going to go down a rabbit trail here. And, you know, that happens sometimes when you start interviewing people. But you talked about being a journalist. And I want to learn more about your college background. And I think y'all were in Texas, and now you live in Tennessee. And learn more about that in a few minutes. But you mentioned being a journalist. And a large part of our listening audience are younger folks maybe later in high school or college or just entering their career. And you and I both know there is such a need to have more Christians entering the world of journalism today. I think it's so important, and there are so few Christians really out there in that world. How did you get involved in journalism? For somebody who's listening that's a Christian and they want to learn how to take a biblical worldview into their career field. Can you kind of share a pathway maybe that you followed or what you would recommend other people that want to be Christians serving in the journalistic field?
Yes. And I mean, I think there really is no better place for many Christians to be serving than in a field that requires you to be telling the truth in every aspect of your job. Now, that seems to be something that's going a little bit to the wayside with, I mean, what I see definitely often is fake news. When I've researched something and can say, like, the facts do not support this narrative, then that's disappointing to see. Because journalists should be the first people, and Christian journalists above that, to be telling the truth. So we do need journalists. We do need Christian journalists. We need a resurgence of just truth-telling. When I was in college, I vividly remember some of my professors telling me that journalism is really just writing the first version of history. And I really clinged on to that. It's true. And if we are telling a marred version of current events, which becomes history later, then what will future generations have to look back on but really a faulty foundation from which to view the world in present and future? And so I think it's really problematic if we have articles that are filled with untrue things. It's really important to go back and really revive the truth and revive caring about the truth and a commitment to the truth. So for Christians, I think it would be fantastic to have more Christians flood into the world of journalism. There are lots of opportunities and even more every day in the culture we're in because of the growth of online media. You're no longer even limited to going out and getting a job at standard newspaper or a news station. I mean, there are lots of opportunities now for people who have a passion for writing, have a skill for it, are willing to develop that skill, who are interested in telling stories and interviewing people and, you know, really learning about how to shape culture through their writing. It's an important role. So I would encourage anybody that has even an inkling toward that to get involved with it. I've had the opportunity to work with secular news and Christian news, and both are important. But definitely there's a vacuum and definitely room for people to get involved in that. And so, yes, I would highly recommend it.
Did you study journalism, or is there a particular degree, maybe English or something, that you think prepares a person well to enter that career field?
I think English would be helpful. I studied journalism. I studied print and broadcast journalism. So I specifically was learning the craft of journalism itself. You know, style-wise, it can vary from an English degree, which certainly is helpful, you know, also. But I did really benefit from a focused study in what it is to craft the news and what is newsworthy, what is timely. There's a certain way of writing news that is different than writing, let's say, an essay. So it was helpful. I went to school at Texarkana College in East Texas. Honestly, I probably learned most from that associate degree level school than I even did when I went on to the University of Texas at Arlington. But both degrees were helpful, and probably most helpful of all was that while I was at Texarkana College, I got an internship at the local newspaper, the Texarkana Gazette. That was supposed to be a short-term thing, but thankfully, and by the grace of God, they turned that into an actual job for me and took me on as an actual general assignments reporter and later a police reporter. Got to do some investigative stuff there as well. So that was really helpful to me because real-world experience is incredibly valuable. So I learned a lot from my editors there and just from experience going out doing the work, and having to write on deadline. And so that was very beneficial. And in addition to that, I also served with the student newspapers at my colleges and also served as editor there, reporter, got to have a chance then to be leading a team of writers, doing writing, doing photography, doing designing. And so all of those things, I think, worked in concert to prepare me for a real strong role in the journalism community. And so I'm really thankful because I had a very strong background in it that really did prepare me for everything I wanted to go out and do.
Yeah, and God's really prepared you, I think, to do those things that you're doing now and using you. You're one of the few journalists who are kind of paving a way for Christians and talking about important biblical worldview issues like we talk about on this show. A while ago, when you were talking about the importance of writers and journalists, you said one day people will what will the future generations have to look back on us? And that you said that's why journalism was so important. I wrote that down because that's really profound. Sharia, we live in a culture now where, as President Trump said, you know, there's so much fake news. And I've actually thought about, and I'm sure you probably have too, you know, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, when people look back at the garbage that is being printed and produced in many cases, are they going to have a clear picture of history? And that's why we need more people like you who will get out and write the truth, which is something that seems to evade our culture today. I think truth is so important. Are you seeing a resurgence of people who want to talk about truth and the truth in journalism today?
I am. And, you know, certain networks and certain publications are arising probably out of this vacuum of truth that are, you know, catering to that. And people, I think people realize that the general public has an appetite for the truth. You know, to some extent, people are satisfied by having their ears tickled and hearing what they want to hear. But at some point, people go, just tell me the truth. I don't really want your opinion, and I certainly don't want a lie. So please just tell me the truth. I just want the facts, just the facts. So out of that, I think people are answering that desire with the creation of new networks, new publications that cater to that. And, you know, they make that their hallmark of saying, we are going to tell the truth. You know, your network really speaks to that, being named in that also. But yeah, I think people really see that as a need, and thankfully there are people stepping up to fulfill it. So I hope that it continues to grow, and, you know, hopefully one day people will look back and we will have been able to put an asterisk by some of the things that have been put out in the public record and correct them. I mean, it's important because even as recently as 2 weeks past with the oral arguments at the Supreme Court, you can see even in opinions that were released recently that there's decisions and opinions that affect our lives and that now will affect lives going forward in our country that are predicated on what has been reported in the news. Then we are making constitutional decisions that are really built upon a shaky ground. And that has happened just recently in our own country. Something that's hyperbole or that's blown out of proportion is vitally important.
That's a good opportunity there for Sharia for us to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to delve into that, into the truth of what's going on in the country right now, the truth in journalism. Then we're going to talk about what you're doing specifically in your company. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break. I hope you'll enjoy learning more about our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
Walk in the footsteps of Jesus and see the Bible come to life. This December, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, on a life-changing trip to Israel. It's one of the world's oldest and most fascinating travel destinations, luring the faithful from all over the world for thousands of years. Visit Jerusalem's religious quarters and explore Christianity's most treasured religious sites, like the Wailing Wall, the Dome of the Rock, and the Via Dolorosa. Walk with Chris through the winding alleyways of Nazareth's Old City and visit ancient Bethlehem, the place of our Savior's birth. Float in the Dead Sea, visit the Sea of Galilee, and the Jewish fortress of Masada. See firsthand where the events of the Bible took place. Touring Israel with Dr. Chris Hughes is a travel odyssey like no other. Visit CitizensForAmericaFoundation.com and get ready for an unforgettable trip and memories that will last a lifetime.
Do you desire to build family relationships that stand the test of time? Does creating a godly family seem like a daunting challenge? You're not alone. I'm Connie Albers, author of Parenting Beyond the Rules and host of Equipped to Be. As a mother of five, I understand your struggles. For 35 years, I have been helping families just like yours build lasting relationships. I'd like to invite you to tune in to Equipped to Be and visit ConnieAlbers.com, where I share useful tips and proven strategies to help you navigate the seasons of motherhood, faith, and life with confidence and joy.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
In the 3rd century, Emperor Claudius the Goth not only commanded the Roman gods to be worshipped, but temporarily forbade marriage because he believed single men made better soldiers. Valentine, who was a bishop in Italy, risked the emperor's wrath by refusing to worship idols and for secretly marrying young couples. St. Valentine was dragged before the prefect in Rome, who condemned him to be beaten to death with clubs and have his head cut off on February 14, 269 AD. While awaiting execution, it is said he prayed for the jailer's sick daughter, who miraculously recovered. He wrote her a note and signed it, "From your Valentine."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome back to The Christian Perspective. Our guest today is Sharia Coulter with Coulter & Company, based out of Memphis, Tennessee. They're a wonderful Christian company. They do web design, they do journalism, consulting for businesses, social media work, and they have just entered the realm of engaging in the public arena, in the arena of public policy. Our guest, Sharia Coulter, is a journalist, and before the break, we were talking about the importance of truth in journalism. So, Sharia, to get back into that, you were talking about Supreme Court rulings and media reportings. Are you seeing a trend towards more truth in media? And maybe, I don't know if you're comfortable, what maybe share with us some news sources that you trust for good news?
That is a tricky question. I get my news in so many different areas, and I would say a lot of it is more opposition research. I will listen to it knowing that I may hear things that are faulty. So honestly, where I really get most of my news is just firsthand accounts, like press conferences, watching live Senate hearings, reading Supreme Court decisions. As a journalist, I tend toward those things. And my kind of goal in that is I'll be the one that's willing to delve in and listen to an hour-long press conference or read an opinion like that, and then, you know, try to digest it a tad and then send it on to other folks who are following me so that they can get a pristine, clean version of the news and the truth as well. I have such a wide range of places I get my news from talk radio, from podcasts, from print journalism, from online news sources.
And I think that's key. You know, a lot of people just trust, you know, one news source, and probably the two most popular for the left might be CNN, and for the right, mm-hmm. Fox News. But it's good to have a broad spectrum of at least things that you scan. So for our listeners that are trying to learn more, I mean, I would encourage you. I have a list of what I call daily reads, and they're about 10 different. You probably do this too. There are about 10 different news sources that I'll peek at throughout the day, just to kind of get a feel, because and it's also funny to me, like I love sometimes when something hot is happening in the political arena, you know, Fox News says one thing and then I'll turn over to MSNBC, which is the far extreme on the other side.
Yes.
And it's funny watching the complete same story told from a completely different perspective. If that's all you watch, you know, if you only watch Fox News, you're getting one perspective. If you only watch CNN or MSNBC. So I think it's good for us as Christians to really pay attention to what's going on. And I like what you said. You know, you talked about watching hearings or reading Supreme Court rulings. I know not everybody has the time to do that, but that's right. Where something like C-SPAN, is helpful, because you actually get to see the hearings that are going on. And again, I know not everyone has a chance to do that. So, but anyway, it's good for us to be educated. It amazes me the number of people that don't know what's going on in the world or have a clue what's going on. And I know that we as Christians have a responsibility. We're created in God's image, and God put us over the creation of this world, and he wants us to be aware of what's going on in the public arena and around us. So, Sharia, and there's more things I'd like to learn about you and cover in a minute, but I want to make sure that we have time to really delve into something exciting that your company is doing. You've recently launched a new advocacy arm of Coulter & Company. And that really grabbed my attention when I heard about that, because there are many Christian business owners that listen to the show and that are out in our nation and around the world today, and they don't think that they can bring their Christianity into their business or their business can be involved. But I think we have a responsibility. So tell us what you have done and why you decided to do this.
I definitely agree with you. We not only can incorporate current culture and public policy and politics and strong, you know, convictions and beliefs into what we're doing on a daily basis, we must. As Christians, we cannot take to the sidelines. We are called to be in the fight, contending for the faith. We are called to defend our faith. We are called to actively try to bring more people into a knowledge of our Savior. So really, I feel like it's a duty. I don't even think it's a choice. Honestly,
why do you think that, if I can interrupt you, Sharia? Because I know a lot of Christians out there, and a lot of preachers say, well, we shouldn't be involved. We just, you know, they throw Romans 13 around, I believe, in an incorrect manner, and talk about how we shouldn't be engaged. You think we should, and I agree with you. So why do you think that we should?
In some of my training through the seminary with biblical counseling, they reminded me that every issue is a biblical and spiritual issue. Every issue. The Bible is speaking to every issue of life, and it gives us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. If every issue is a biblical issue, then we as Christians need to see what God in Scripture has to say about every part of our lives. So, in my opinion, there's really no issue that a preacher cannot touch on, because God speaks to everything and has wisdom for every part of our life. And some of the issues, even more than others, that someone might want to call political, they are central to our Christian faith. Take abortion, for an instance. Some people would like to say, now that's a political issue. And I would say, no. The sanctity of life, life made in God's image, which He says that we should treasure, and He treasures, that is a biblical issue. That's a scriptural Christian issue. And so we cannot just back away and let everyone else talk about that besides Christians, because if we do, then what are we going to be left with but only what people who are against God have to say about it? And what kind of culture and what kind of country can that create? Certainly not anything that resembles a Christian one. So I think it's very, very important that we look to the Bible and its wisdom in every part of our life, because it has something to say about every part of life.
Well, is there some issue or something that happened in our nation over the last year or so that led you to begin this effort?
I think overall it's just a conglomeration of things. These are things we care about. And honestly, they're things that my husband, Scott, and I are already involved in. But we just had a desire to be able to open that up, bring more people in, and help other people get inspired and get involved. It's just critically important that people realize what's going on in our country, in our world, and find ways that they can get involved. Sometimes it can be an intimidating process, and people may just look at it, you know, from the outside thinking, this is something I don't understand, or this is something I only have minimal interest in. But I really believe there's a quote, you know, you will be made to care. Eventually, you will be made to care. And so today, you may say, I'm too busy, I got to get my kids to soccer, I have to get my oil changed, I have to get my groceries bought, and of course, you do have to do all of those things. But we need people that realize that if we do not get involved today, then later, when it's really, really pressing, we will say, oh, it's too late. I missed the boat. I didn't get involved when I still had time to change things and make a difference. And now I really wish I would have, because now I'm made to care. Because when they, and I say that just ethereally, you know, when someone starts to come for something that you care about, your house, your job, your children, your school's education, and your local community, you start to go, actually, I think I do have a little bit of time to redevote to and reallocate to this thing that now I see is actually very important, because it's either threatening my finances or my safety or my future, my kids' future. I just think people need to realize today that that's going to happen soon, and it's already happening, and go ahead and jump on the train now and get involved and take initiative to find how you can use the skills and, you know, you already have to plug in and really take ownership of fostering a good country that does reflect our biblical values and provides a great place for our kids to grow up and for our kids to one day take over from us. And yep. So that we don't just give them remnants of something that just, you know, once was great.
Well, I mean,
we've been given so much. So I want to honor those who've given that to us by taking good care of it.
And I think it is time for us to get involved in that. For those of you who may not know, Sharia's husband, Scott Coulter, is the executive director of the Conservative Baptist Network. And I know that you and Scott both have a passion for encouraging pastors to preach the whole word of God, to preach on the inerrancy of Scripture. And And a lot of preachers that I talk to, Sheree, around the country are like, why are you doing this? Why are you getting involved? You need to focus on evangelism. Well, I do focus on it. It's not one or the other, Sheree. Yeah, we can be involved in the public arena and focus on evangelism. But what's going to happen is if we don't engage in the public arena, if we don't fight and defend the right to tell others about Jesus, we're going to lose that right. As you said a while ago, there's going to come a time when it might be too late to change things, and it's not too late right now. But if we just look around what's happening in our culture right now, pastors are being I know you're from Texas. I'm not sure what area you're from originally, but in Houston just a few years ago, there was a mayor of Houston. She was a lesbian. She didn't like what some preachers were preaching, and she demanded that pastors submit scripts, manuscripts of their sermons in the coming Sunday, and she was going to determine whether or not they should be allowed to talk about the topics they're talking about. We live in a country today where homosexuality and transgender and you know, are you really a boy or are you really a girl? Same-sex marriage, all these things are issues that the culture does not want us to talk about. And if we don't take a stand now, and too many Christians and pastors have been too quiet about this, but if we don't take a stand, we are going to lose the right to preach the Word of God. And we can't pick and choose, and we can't only talk about certain things that are in God's Word. God's Word is either all true or none of it is true. And so we have got to, as Christians, wake up. It doesn't mean that we're being combative with people and culture. It doesn't mean that we don't show the love of Jesus. We do show the love of Jesus. And it's not about one particular political party or the other. It's about defending the right to preach the whole Word of God. And we are very close to losing that privilege and that opportunity right now in culture today. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and why you and Scott are doing the things that you're doing. Well, we're going to have to take another commercial break here, Sheree. But when we get back, I want to talk more about that and what's happening in the culture. And specifically, we'll talk about the issues that are important to you and the things that you're going to be working with this new branch of engagement with your company, Culture & Company. So, folks, we're listening. You're listening to Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Our guest today is Sheree Coulter of Culture & Company. If you want a company that can give you some great advice on how to engage in the public arena, if you need help with the web design, if you're a writer, they have a publishing wing, and they've published many books now. Hopefully we'll get to talk about those a little later in the show. We'll be right back with more from Sheree Coulter.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Today, February 15th, in the year 1898, the USS Maine blew up in Havana Harbor. President William McKinley approved the joint resolution of Congress, which stated, "The abhorrent conditions which have existed for more than 3 years in the island of Cuba have been a disgrace to Christian civilization, culminating as they have in the destruction of a United States battleship with 266 of its officers and crew while on a friendly visit in the harbor of Havana. Therefore, resolved by Congress assembled, that the people of the island of Cuba are and of a right ought to be free."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
The Conservative Baptist Network is a dynamic movement of Southern Baptist pastors, churches, and Christians committed to standing for the sufficiency of God's Word. In the face of a culture of compromise, the passion and prayer of the Conservative Baptist Network is that God would help Southern Baptists stay bold for the gospel so that we might see revival in America and the world reached for Christ. Visit our website today at conservativebaptistnetwork.com to learn how you and your church can join and support this exciting movement.
Welcome back to The Christian Perspective. This is Chris Hughes, and we have a fascinating guest today. Our guest is Sharia Coulter. Sharia owns Coulter & Company with her husband, Scott Coulter, and they do a lot of great work. If you're looking for a website for your business or some project that you have, Sharia and her team do a great job of designing. They, matter of fact, they designed the website for our organization, Citizens for America Foundation. And, you know, a while back we talked about at the beginning of the year a great new Bible reading program. I think it's called the It Is Finished Challenge that Dr. Mikey Mewborn developed, and Sharia Coulter designed his website. They do a lot of wonderful work, and they're also book publishers and do so much more. But like many of you, they were concerned about what was going on in the culture, and even though it wasn't really part of what their company was doing, they decided that they needed to open a new arm of their company to address the issues in the public arena, the arena of public policy in our country today. And I'm so proud of them for having a new advocacy arm of Coulter & Company. And I just thought that it would be important to have Sharia on the show today to talk about what she and her team are doing to impact the culture for Jesus Christ, to maybe show you, some of you that are business owners, what you can do to get involved in the public arena as well. So Sharia, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
So we were talking a little bit about issues that were involved and how right before the break I was kind of getting off on a tirade and starting to preach a little bit, sorry about that, about how pastors need to, not just pastors, but all Christians need to engage in the public arena. It's you were talking earlier about the abortion issue and how people want to shy away from that because they say that it's a political issue. You know, it's not a political issue, Sharia, and I know you know this. It's a sin issue, and God addresses issues of sin in His Word. And there's only one way for us to have forgiveness of sins, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we address all these issues in our culture today, and particularly for pastors and Christian mentors to understand what the Bible says on these different issues so we can engage when those around us at work or school or wherever we may be start talking about some of these issues. So can you tell us a little bit about what issues and causes that your company is going to be working with, Coulter & Company, in the coming months?
Yes, absolutely. And I wholeheartedly agree with you, you know, on the issue of whether things are political issues or sin issues. That's 100% correct. In fact, I wrote an article not that long ago, I think it was titled, Is Politics a Dirty Word for Christians? Because I think it's really a tool of the devil that he would like to convince an entire country or world of Christians that politics is something taboo for you, something you should not be involved in, and, you know, basically steer clear, especially at holidays with Thanksgiving and Christmas and family. Just don't bring it up.
Yeah, if he can get the Christians to shut up, then the only side that's being presented is the sinful side. And no one hears what God's word has to say about it. And we have failed. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm going to start preaching again. But we have failed as a Christian society to take a stand on God's word on these issues. And again, folks, you don't have to do it in a mean or hateful manner. You can do it in a very nice way. But you need to be firm and stand on the truth of the word of God. I'm sorry, Sharia. Go ahead.
Absolutely. No, that's 100% correct. And the way I see it, I mean, if you look at the definition of the word politics, really, politics is just the governing of our country. And we are blessed that we have a government system that includes us. We are not only allowed, but required with our duty as Americans to take ownership and to be involved in self-governing. We need to be involved. We cannot just stay on the sidelines. But yes, several issues that really are important to Coulter & Company advocacy. I would say like the top three are religious liberty, the sanctity of human life, and theological education. Religious liberty, as you know, is just a very pressing need for Christians to be engaging in, both at home and abroad. There are threats to religious liberty everywhere you look. It's one of the things that really it stems back to the founding of our nation. It's one of the leading reasons why we even have America to begin with. We are very much for people living free, and that includes the freedom of religion. Not only did our founding fathers seek that, but I have studied quite a lot about the Anabaptists in Europe who, because they would not capitulate to the state church, were tortured and killed as martyrs. You know, I've specifically studied on the women portion of Anabaptism. And it's amazing because of their practical importance as far as cooking and cleaning. They would sometimes be chained to their house so they could still handle the domestic chores, cooking and cleaning for their family. And then at a later date, they would either be burned at the stake or drowned because they would not capitulate to what the state church wanted them to say or do. That's a special kind of attack, you know, work into your death. But this history, you know, in all kinds of different countries and different ways, different time periods, it really fuels for us a desire to say America is a place for religious freedom. And we are a place that is a safe haven to come and, you know, worship God as you believe is the right way to do. And so, you know, God is a God that has given, he gives us choice. He gave Adam and Eve a choice in the garden. You and I today, we have a choice whether we want to disobey or obey God. We can submit to Christ or we can choose the way of a sinner, which Psalms or which Proverbs tells us is a hard way. The way of the sinner is hard. So we can choose that. It's up to us. But it does remind me also the scripture that says, choose this day whom you will serve. Everybody will serve someone or something. And we all must choose. I choose to serve the Lord. That's what my family chooses. But we are for everyone having the opportunity to choose and holding that in one hand and in the other hand saying loudly from the mountaintops, choose Christ, because he is the only way that leads to any kind of happiness or, you know, realignment with the Father, an eternity that is spent with him. And so we can, in one hand, value the ability for people to choose, and in the other hand, say, please, choose Christ. So both can be done, you know, at the same time, not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, and religious liberty is so important, and it's something that I know you share a passion with me for people to understand the importance of the founders of our nation, how many of them were Christians. The Constitution was really based on the Bible. Every article in the Constitution you can find a correlation to in the Bible. So it's important for us to understand the history of our nation and why religious liberty is so important. Sheree, our organization, the Citizens for America Foundation, is going to have a tour to Washington, D.C. If some of our listeners are interested, you can visit citizensforamericafoundation.com. The third week of June, and again, third week of September, we're going to be taking a group of people to D.C. if you'd like to go with us and learn about the true Christian heritage of our nation and how our nation was based on biblical principles. It's important to understand that, and it's also, as Sheree is saying, important to understand religious liberty and why religious liberty is so important in our nation. Sheree, another issue that I know that is a true passion for you and your company and your husband is abortion, the sanctity of human life. And just a few months ago, there was an important decision heard before the United States Supreme Court that hopefully by this summer we'll have a ruling that I hope and pray will lead to an overturn of the Roe v. Wade decision. Why is abortion such an important issue for Christians to understand today?
It's really a no-brainer to me. It's just the right thing to do. Part of what we have built Culture and Co-Advocacy to reflect is Philippians 4:8, which talks about if anything praiseworthy, if there's anything good or excellent, think about these things. So we're after those things that are good. We want to promote the good. Certainly, promoting the ability for everyone to have a chance to live would definitely qualify as good. There is really nothing I can think of that is more pressing in the way I see it than protecting the sanctity of human life. Everybody should get a chance to take their first breath. It is unbelievable that anyone, any human, would advocate for abortion, let alone Christians. When we were growing up, I spent some of my time growing up in upstate New York, in a really great time there in Lake Placid, and I can recall vividly in the basement of our very small church, stuck to a wall, there was a bumper sticker, and I can remember it as it was yesterday. And it said, "Isn't it a bit hypocritical to support abortion when you've already been born?"
Boy, that's powerful.
I was 13 when I read that, and it really resonated with me, and I've obviously never forgotten it. I think it's so true. And in addition to that, if you look and study, you know, history, look at the Jewish Holocaust, and growing up through school, I would think to myself, how did they get to that point? Where were the mobs of people saying, no, you know, where were they? Where were the human beings saying, like, yes, we'll let this happen. on our watch. Well, as you know, Chris, since the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, more than 62 million babies have been killed in abortion in America since that decision was handed down from the Supreme Court. That is 10 times the number of the Jews killed in the Holocaust. Mm. 10 times. So now those questions that, that in school I asked of Europe and the West also, how did we get to this point? Where are the mobs saying no? What human beings would let this happen on our watch? It's simply, it's really harrowing. And so that compels me and propels me to be involved. I can't stand by and do nothing. I feel like it is a duty for Christians to stand up for other human beings to get a chance to take their first breath.
Well, Sheree, we only have a couple minutes before we have to take our next break. But what are some of the ways that Christians can get involved and help defend the sanctity of human life?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, we certainly need to be praying. We know that the Bible tells us that our strongest weapon is prayer. And so we need to be on our knees praying daily. We need to pray for legislation that would protect life. And I'm for the abolition of abortion. I want it gone 100%. I'm also for measures along the way on to that goal that reduce it in every way possible. So I feel like it's a both-and approach. But we need to be praying for legislation that brings an end to abortion. We need to be praying for the current Supreme Court case that's being decided right now and that we're, like you said, waiting for an opinion on. And we need to be praying for a good decision on that, a decision that is reflects God's wisdom and His holiness and His goodness, that reflects the sanctity of life.
We're going to have to take a break here for our commercials, and when we come back, we're going to jump right in on how we can defend the sanctity of human life. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back.
A brand is a design, name, symbol, or any other feature that sets an organization or individual apart. Bringing that brand to life can be difficult, but Diggs Design is here to help you take that next step or re-energize your current situation.
We can handle logos, social media graphics, cards, weddings, clothing, prints, photo editing, and much more. Give us a call today at 704-984-2432 or connect with Diggs Design on social media.
In a world crowded with viewpoints and voices.
Critical condition after a...
I believe the message of this...
Financial problems.
Only one voice matters. God's. At the College at Mid-America and Mid-America Seminary, we equip leaders to think from a biblical worldview. Online or on our Memphis campus. Check out the College at Mid-America and Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary at mabts.edu and be equipped to light the way.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The United States of America has a strong Christian heritage, but most Americans don't know the truly important role that God and the Bible played in the founding of this great nation. This June, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, for 4 amazing days in our nation's capital. With Chris, you'll embark on a journey of discovering the hidden secrets of Washington, D.C., and rediscover much of America's forgotten Christian heritage. Your tour will include an up-close and personal look at the nation's establishment and how it's evolved over the centuries. Learn about the government and the men who helped forge this new kind of republic, one that acknowledged the Creator from its very inception. Know the truth about the creation of the United States of America, about the faith of the founding fathers, and how Christian principles were used to establish this form of government. Visit CitizensForAmericaFoundation.com today and secure your spot to join Chris Hughes in Washington, D.C. this June.
Folks, welcome back to The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Our guest today is Sharia Coulter. She is the owner of Coulter & Company, a great company that works in the journalism field, social media field. They are book publishers, and they have recently opened a new arm to address issues in the public arena. I wanted Sharia to come on here today to challenge us as Christians. No matter what we do or what business we are in, we can develop a biblical worldview and take that biblical worldview into whatever we do in everyday life, because a worldview is basically the lens through which we see the world. And as Christians, really the lens through which we should see everything is through God's holy word, the Bible. And I'm just proud of Sharia and her company for taking a stand on God's word. Leading up to the last commercial break, we were talking about some issues that are important to her company and the reasons why they got involved in the public arena. And one of those issues was religious liberty. And we were just talking about abortion. And I want to touch back on abortion a little bit. Sharia mentioned there have been nearly 63 million babies murdered through abortion since 1973 and the decision of Roe v. Wade, which, by the way, we just recently celebrated the anniversary of that back in January. And Sharia was sharing with us ways that Christians can get involved in the issue of the sanctity of human life. And Sharia, one thing I think we need to do is we need to become educated on the issue of abortion and what God's word says about it. When I go to college campuses or speak places around the country, I have a lot of young people in particular who don't see the fetus as a living human being. And, you know, for me as a male, you know, they don't want to hear what I have to say about it. And part of the reason that a lot of Christian young people today don't know what God's word says is because most pastors don't ever talk about the issue. George Barna, who I know you're familiar with, Barna, he's a Christian pollster, says that less than 10% of people who claim to be evangelical Christian pastors ever address issues like abortion. So, Sharia, what would you say to a young woman who says that it's just a blob of flesh or a bunch of cells thrown together? Is that thing in a woman's body really a baby, and is it really a human life? And if not, at what point does it become a human life?
By the grace of God, it's very great that as this debate has gone on since 1973, science has gone on. We are blessed that in 2022, we have amazing science that shows us that the true life of an unborn child, and is undeniable. 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was a much more plausible argument for pro-choice, pro-abortion side to say it's just a blob of flesh. When you now have photographs and video and just amazing science that shows humanity of an unborn child, that shows them breathing in and practicing breathing amniotic fluid, that shows how young, you know, 6 weeks a heart can start beating. When you have those concrete things and you can talk about their brain waves and how they feel pain and how they are sucking their thumbs, and I mean, all of those things support that this is a life and it's a precious life and it's a human being. If we view an unborn child as a human when a woman is murdered and counted as a double homicide, then it's nonsensical to say that a woman can choose to kill that child and it not be bad. That just is illogical. And it's an argument they would like to continue using, and they do, but it doesn't make sense. But one of the most encouraging things to me is if you see some of the man on the street videos where you meet up with some people and you ask them their views on abortion, but then they're shown a video animation of what actually happens in an abortion, and then ask them again, like, are you really for that? It's what's encouraging to me is to watch people's minds change on the spot. The fact is, and the truth is, a lot of people are just regurgitating talking points that they've heard on the news, they've heard in college classrooms, and they've heard on Twitter, and they don't really know. But when a person knows what really happens to a baby when they get torn limb from limb and sucked with a vacuum tube from a woman's body, and that they have to have all their body parts recounted after an abortion to make sure everything is accounted for, they go, whoa, no, I'm not for that.
Yeah, that's a real wake-up call.
The most encouraging thing to me is if we can use science and facts to show people that this is so wrong, and they change their minds. So this is a one-person-by-one-person effort to say, let's change your mind. It's okay to change your mind.
And Sharia, I think one of the greatest tools to change minds is the sonogram. And since pregnancy centers have started having, you know, as Christians have began to donate to some of these Christian pregnancy centers when young women go in to get counseling, and what they really try to do is let the young lady see a sonogram of that child. And when they see that baby moving inside their body, it's made a huge difference. And many, many women have decided not to have an abortion after they saw that it really is a baby. It looks like a baby. It moves and all that. I can't remember her last name. Abby somebody. I can't believe I...
Johnson?
Yeah, yeah. You know, she was with Planned Parenthood, very high up, an award winner with their organization. But she had never been involved in an abortion, and somebody called in sick or something. I'm probably butchering her story, but anyway, she had to go in and participate in an abortion. And when she went in and saw the situation that you just described, where, and I'm not trying to be graphic with our listeners, but you need to know, where it's basically like a vacuum cleaner suctioning arms and legs and limbs off of a living baby, and it is fighting to get away from that suction cup and fighting to defend its life. And when she saw that, it radically transformed her life. And now she's one of the most outspoken people defending the sanctity of human life in the country today. And she was one of the biggest proponents of abortion before she experienced that.
It just goes to show that anyone can change their mind. Can't give up on trying to talk to people and share the truth with them, because anybody can change their mind.
That is so true. And I want to ask our listeners to just be praying. As I mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court heard a decision, I believe it was in December, late November, early December, where the state of Arkansas had passed a law basically saying that, I think it was at around 12 weeks, correct me if I'm wrong, Sharia, that there would be no more abortions after that point because it was a living creature, at least a living baby. I shouldn't say creature. It was a living baby at that point. And someone took it to court. It worked its way all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And this is the first time really since 1973 that a case of that magnitude has even made its way to the Supreme Court, or where they agreed to hear it. And thankfully, because of the work that President Trump did, whether you liked him or not, he did appoint conservative and hopefully Christian justices to the Supreme Court. And so it's going to be interesting to see how these folks rule in this case. But this is the best case that we've had as a pro-life movement in a very, very long time. And so we need to be praying that God will move, the Holy Spirit will move in the hearts and minds of those justices as they decide how they're going to rule. And probably by June, we should have an answer on that. Well, we only have a few minutes left. I wanted to cover, you mentioned three things that your company is working on in the public arena: religious liberty, abortion. The third I found very interesting, and one that many people wouldn't think of, and that's theological education. How does this fit into Culture and Company's advocacy?
Well, this really circles back to promoting things that are excellent and praiseworthy. There is literally nothing as good as God. So to study Him and His ways and how He has worked in history and how He desires for us to think and to live, all of that is certainly good and worthwhile. So not only do we need pastors who have spent time studying like this so that they can lead their church as well, but honestly, solid theological education is for every believer. Everyone. As you may know, my husband and I spent almost 15 years studying in seminary, him far more than me since he came out of it with a PhD. But anyway, we've been deeply intertwined with seminary life for some time now. And I really believe that every Christian should desire and pursue as much as possible expanding knowledge and grasp of the scripture and truly your faith as well by studying in seminary. If you think of it, the seminary exists to do the job of the church in teaching matters of doctrine and theology, but in an as efficient way as possible. Like, rather than every church develop their own curriculum and their training programs, Southern Baptists, for instance, have come together and said, hey, let's pool our resources a bit. Let's have a few professors who can focus on this task rather than trying to have every pastor teaching every course in every church, which I think is a pretty efficient model. And we can debate all day long whether it's good or biblical or efficient, but the point is that seminary is simply an extension of the discipleship ministry of the church. So, you know, in this world of, I think, largely undereducated Christians, people who sometimes very sadly are not reading the Bible, even not understanding it hardly at all, you know, a huge catastrophe and tragedy, but we've got to turn around. We should all be endeavoring to learn and grow as much as possible. So Scott and I, and again, largely Scott, since this is his area of expertise much more than mine, but we have been honored to play a role in promoting biblically sound theological education in the States and abroad, including in countries where Christians are persecuted and where the gospel isn't welcome. And so we really look forward to, you know, using culture and company advocacy to continue helping in these efforts more and more. It's just critically important for people to have a biblically sound witness and for us to have a biblically sound worldview. And that happens through biblically sound churches led by biblically sound pastors.
Right.
And well, Sheree, theological education.
We only have about a minute left, but so this is a short answer to an important issue. Yes. But people that are looking at seminaries, many seminaries today are not preaching, teaching the Word of God. How can people discern where to go to seminary?
I think you can find wise counselors. I would personally recommend Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary because we are there and implanting our lives there with them now, and they're very strong biblically. They hold tightly to the inerrancy, sufficiency, and authority of Scripture. So I would personally be thrilled to talk to anybody who might be interested in that, and we would love to introduce them to the school and see how we can get them plugged in.
Well, before we let you go, how can people partner with Coulter & Company? How do they find you online and learn more about the services that you provide?
The quickest way is just coulterco.com, super simple, C-O-L-T-E-R-C-O.com. Everything is kind of housed under that umbrella of all the different arms of our company, so our advocacy part is there as well. We would just be thrilled to partner with people. We would love to help people figure out what their skills are and how they can fit into these advocacy efforts in their own area. We'd love to partner financially. We'd love to partner in prayer. There's just lots of avenues in which you can say, hey, I can't go and do that right now, but I want to play a part. You know, what can I do to get involved in whatever way? We're thrilled to partner with people to move this ball down the field.
Well, folks, check out their website. Sheree, such an honor to have you with me here today. We're going to have you again. Thank you all for joining us. I'm Chris Hughes, and this is The Christian Perspective. Please subscribe and like our podcast, and please share it with your friends on social media. Now let's go change the culture for Jesus.
Thank you for listening. The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Learn more about impacting the culture for Jesus.
Visit citizensforamericafoundation.com.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.